No matter what he may think, he loves it. But we are celebrating dads, and especially godly dads today. And one of the things that we get to do today is we're going to look at a name of God in Scripture that goes well with today. And that, as Megan said, is the name Abba Father. And we find the name Abba Father in Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 32. So if you'd take your Bibles, and we're going to read a few verses there in Mark chapter 14. This is one of those passages where you're going to look at it and go, this is not much of a Father's Day passage, I wouldn't think. But we'll see the name. And actually, this is the first place in Scripture that we actually see the name Abba Father. So Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Would you just join with me in prayer? Father, as we celebrate fathers this day, we understand that we have a great Father, our Abba Father. Lord, as we look into your word and as you speak to our hearts, and would you show us incredible things of who you are, remind us of our relationship with you, and challenge us, especially as fathers, to be more like you. And we will give you praise in all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. A professor was walking down the street in Jerusalem one day, and he was, you know, doing the sightseeing thing. And as he was walking down the street, he saw three young boys that had just gotten out of school. They were walking down the street on the sidewalk, and as they were walking along, one of the boys saw his dad from a distance, and he started to yell out, "Abba! Abba! Abba!" and ran to his dad, and his dad, you know, like a good dad, got down, swept him up into his arms, spun him around a few times to make him nice and dizzy, and then put him down. What an incredible picture. You know, it's not a word that we often hear, and I don't know about you, but my kids have never called me Abba. I haven't heard that statement in our house. But it really was cool as you think about that. You see the picture of this boy yelling Abba, going to his dad, and it really points out to us an incredible picture of the name of our God. What is in the name? As I said already, in this name, Abba, there is only actually three places in Scripture where this name is used, Abba Father. The first one is actually the one that we just read about Jesus, where he's in the garden. He says, "Abba, Father, if at all, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but your will be done." And it would make sense because Jesus is the Son of God. So it would make sense that he would use that phrase. There's two other times that we find Paul actually uses the name as well. One time we find it in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, he says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." So we see Paul introduces adoption. So we have been adopted into the family. Thereby, we can call God Abba, Father. He says it again in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, where he says, "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts." The Spirit. So again, we see this idea of the adoption where Jesus, the Son of God, and because of what the family, thereby given the right to be able to call him Abba Father. So that brings us to the question of what does Abba Father mean? So if I were to ask you this and to simply say, what do you think Abba, Daddy, okay? Well, that's one of the ways. Or actually, technically, the real translation is Father, which is really interesting because as we read it, then it's saying Father, Father. And when you look at that, it gets kind of confusing. So some maybe thought, well, okay, to say Abba, Father was just simply the way of in the Bible to say, well, Abba means Father. Abba, Father, you know, that kind of thing. But actually, when you look at it, these are two very separate words. Father, in most cases in Scripture, the word for that is pater. Pater. And what pater is a positional, this is the word pater, so when we read those verses, they say Abba Pater. Pater would be the position of somebody who is our male ancestor, the one who gave us life. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we read the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, we read this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word is pater, our pater. And so what that is saying is simply this, that this term Father is one of position, it is one of authority, it is one of reverence and respect. So it's kind of this idea of, you know what, the reality of your situation is you are a father. If you have children, you fathered children. By position, you are pater, all right? But when it comes to Abba, that one is a relationship one. It is more of a connection thing. So as you heard, what was said was daddy. That's kind of the term that maybe some would be more comfortable with saying. Abba is a relationship with God where it is close. It's that compassion. It's that concern. It's that care. It's that love. Abba, daddy, is only three times in Scripture. But notice, and I don't want to forget or blow past this, because if you noticed in all three of those verses where Abba is used, it is both words, Abba, Pater. So when we see these names, it brings us to ask the question then of what does this name say about God? And all of these names were kind of, what does it say about me? And so we're starting out with what does this say about God? And a really amazing part of this, one of the first things, He accepts us no matter what. Now here's the sad reality is that we live in a culture where there's a lot of, quote, pater fathers. There's a lot of men who have fathered children but have never had any kind of fathers. One of the things I read recently is that almost 50% of the children in our country today are not living with their father. And so we see this idea that many have fathered children. We look at what Paul says, and Paul told us, he says, that we have been adopted. We have been called children of God. We have been accepted into it. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we read these words. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You know, this is such an incredible concept for us to get, because what this means is simply this. We didn't earn this part of what God has done for us. I didn't earn His acceptance, that love was already there before we were even born. God wanted us. He desires us. And here's the greatest part of this. It's not based on any of our accolades or merit. We don't have to impress God in order for Him to love us more or to accept us more. We don't have to do certain things. It doesn't matter if I'm a spiritual wreck. He will accept me based on one thing alone, and that is the work of Christ on the cross for our sins. And when we have accepted what Christ did, He says we are adopted into the family of God. And this is the great part, because when we were adopted, it's because He loved us. He loved us. We have friends that some years ago went into the adoption process to adopt a Chinese baby. They had walked into an orphanage, and they've written a book about this, and they were going to adopt Lily, was her name. She had medical issues. She was one that basically, for most people, they had said, she's worthless. And yet they walked in, and then I remember hearing them say this. They said, they walked in, they saw Lily, and immediately they loved her. And they knew that they had to enter into the adoption process. And they started the paperwork. They did everything. They love her, and their love for her grew. Now, the sad reality of the situation was the adoption fell through, and they couldn't get little Lily. Tore them apart. Now, the good news is another family got Lily, eventually was able to adopt. But they said, you know, even though we were not able to bring Lily home with us, we still love Lily. And what an incredible picture of this idea of adoption, of this acceptance of God, that He loves us unconditionally. Little Lily did not have to do a single thing to earn their acceptance. They simply loved her. And God doesn't require of us to do anything for Him to love us. We have to accept His love. And what an incredible picture. He accepts us. That's part of this Abba Father based on the work of Christ. He accepts us. He knows us. That's the second thing that this brings is with our Abba Father, He knows us intimately. He knows everything about us. He knows our strengths, our weaknesses. He knows the areas that we're going to stand strong. He knows the areas that we will fall to temptation. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, it says, "And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now, I apologize because for some people, this isn't a very, it doesn't take long for God to count some of them, all right? It's not about the hair, all right? Although it is kind of cool. I'm looking at that. I'm going, you know, how incredible is our God that He knows every hair on my head, as insignificant as they are. He knows which ones are gray. He knows which ones are brown or black. He knows which ones are confused. He knows all about it. So He knows everything about who we are, and yet He still loves us. You know, this blows me away. Because in reality, He shouldn't love any of us at all. I look at it and I go, how many times have I stepped on Him? How many times have I chosen sin through my own selfish ways? How many times have I hurt Him in ways that I don't even understand? And yet, here He goes and says it. Oh, that doesn't matter. I know you. I love you. I will know everything. And that doesn't change a single thing. Abba, Father. He knows us. He accepts us. But you know, a great part of Him is He cares for us. This is such an incredible thing, because even though with all of our failures, with all of the things that we've done wrong, all of these things, He still cares tremendously about His children. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter 5:7, is a beautiful verse. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. I love that, because it doesn't say cast your cares on Him because He is the cosmic psychologist and will help you. It simply says cast your cares because I care. You know how incredible that is, that He wants what's best for us. When we hurt, He hurts. He doesn't enjoy it. He loves it when things are going well. It says that He came to give life to the fullest. He wants to give us the best. He wants us to live in joy. He doesn't want us to live in anxiety and worry. He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to enjoy. He wants us to live life to the fullest. Something that every father wants of their children. You know, it's interesting being a dad, because there's a couple of parts to it. One is I know my girls, kind of going back to the know part. Each one of them is very different. Very different. They were raised in the same home. Same mom and dad. They've had everything the same, and they're all very different. And sometimes we scratch our heads and go, how did this happen? You know, it's like with one of them, if there's something that's going on, I sit down and we have a conversation. It's just, you know, let's talk about it. And that works out great. No emotion, just facts. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Okay? Then I have another one that all I really need to do is look at them and go, I'm so disappointed. And it's like, I'm so sorry, you know. And there's another one that I can say I'm disappointed, and they just go, deal with it. It's all different. But I care for each one of them the same. And you know what? As a dad, I worry. I worry for my, not in a bad way, but I worry for my girls. You see, as a dad, I care so much because I know that they're going to be raised in a time that they're going to be dealing with things that I never had to deal with. We're seeing things changing in our culture on an almost daily basis, and they're going to be raising their children in a time that we could never have comprehended. As a dad, I'm always worried about the other guy that's going to come into their life. I've got three of them, and I'm saying, okay, we've got one down, two to go. We won on one so far, and so I'm kind of, you know, I'm going, this is going to be interesting. But I worry because I want them to find the right guy. I'm sorry, other dads. I'm looking for the top three. You're going to have to settle with below that. I want the top three guys. I want three guys that will love God with all of their heart and love my daughters in a way as they deserve because they're children of God. That's what I desire. And I worry about that. I worry, will you do this? I want everything for them. And I come back and I think, wow. And what I want for my daughters is so incredibly small in comparison to what God wants for us. His care for us is beyond even what I'm capable of as a father, but I can strive for as a father. Our God is, again, it shows us He accepts us, He knows us, He cares about us. What an incredible God, Abba, Father, that we have. But we also have to look at the flip side of this, is if that's what it says about God, what is it about me? How does this impact me, or how should this impact me? And it should. And one of the ways that it should is it should really cause us to desire to live devoted to Him. We should want to live every moment in total devotion to Him. Paul says in Colossians 3:17, he says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I love this because this points to us what this should look like. In everything that we do, every aspect of life, my desire should be to please my Heavenly Father. I want to make Him happy. I want to make Him proud. You know, there is a phrase that a father can say to their children that will fill up their children more than any other phrase that they can hear. And I said that in the first one, and it was someone said, I love you. And I said, that's a good one, but that's actually not the phrase. I'm proud of you. Every child strives to hear dad say, I'm proud of you. And when dad says, I love you, there is something that just fills the soul. Now, mom, you can say that all day long. It's not your day. But you know what, moms, we love you. Moms, you hold everything together. We get it. But understand this. You're already their champion. They already know that in your eyes, you're the best at everything. You can't do it. Well, you can do things wrong, but they understand that they've got mom, all right? Dad, you're a little tougher nut to crack. But they know that when they've done that, there's something to it. you know, I've always desired, loved it. That was the one thing that I loved to hear my dad say. And I still do. I'm proud of you. And how much more is it when we can hear our Heavenly Father, the one who created us, the Pater, the one who is over us, that when He says to us, well done. You know, we read that passage and it says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what? We'll hear that. But I also think we're gonna hear, well done, my son, my daughter. And I think that will fill us up. Because that is what we strive for. Honestly, I want to do good. And we're going to get into this in a minute. But I want to be a good steward. I want to do all of that. But the one thing is that relational part of me where I want to hear Abba, Daddy say, Pete, I love you. I am proud of you. Makes me want to live the life of complete devotion, that everything I do, that I would come out the other side hearing Him saying, good job. Do we live that way for our Abba Father? But the second part of that, if we live totally devoted, the second aspect is we live in submission. We should live in submission to Him. Again, like I've said before, a lot of times what we like to do is we like to picture Jesus, or God, sorry, we like to picture God as Abba, Abba, and just stop there, Abba, 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 Abba. Leave it at that. He is our daddy. And sometimes we actually more, it's like Abba Warbucks, Daddy Warbucks. You know, it's like, here's what, God, why don't you do this for me? And when He doesn't do it for us, then we pout like a little kid and we say we're going to do our own thing. And we know that He loves us. But the part of this, and this is why it's so important, in those three passages it says Abba Father, Abba Pater. The Pater is the positional part of this. And really when Jesus is looking at this, it is the idea of, you know, I have my daddy, the one who has compassion, love, and acceptance for me, but I also have the one who is my authority, the one who is my lead. Go back to the garden when Jesus was praying the prayer. Even in His prayer, you see both sides of the name Abba, Father. He starts it out and He says, Abba, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. The first thing that He's talking about is the Abba side of God, the daddy side of God, saying, compassion, if you have compassion on me, love, the care, the tenderness, all of that. Notice that He was hitting on that relational aspect of who God was to Him. And then He says, yet not my will, but your will be done. That is the Pater side of it. Your will be done. You see, we get hung up. As a matter of fact, one of my daughters was telling me the other day that there is an individual that they know that every time that they would pray, they simply every time start out with daddy, daddy, and then they would launch into what they were doing. And I thought, that's been mulling in my mind, and I went, you know, that's not bad theology, because He is Abba, but He's Abba Father. And I think sometimes what we do is we place God in too much of this comfort zone of, I see you as my daddy friend. And we remove it, the Pater side of it. He is our Abba, but He is our Maker. He is our Creator. He is our giver of life. He is the one who controls all, and He is the one that desires to see His will lived out through us. And therefore, it should be my desire not only to hear Him say, I'm so proud of you, but it should be a part of us to say, I desire to live in full submission to you. Paul, this is what he says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You notice there how it goes. Yes, we love God, but offer our bodies. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And I love how he says it. Then we will be able to test and approve what? God's will. Not my will. God's will. I will begin to understand what his desire is. And the more I understand what his desire is, the more that I want to. And so we see that this life of surrender. Now, here is the best part of this. That as we live this surrendered life, you know what begins to happen? We begin to live the joy-filled life. We begin to live the life that is to the fullest because Abba begins to work that side of things. And as we serve him, we live for him, he does the greater part. We submit to his will. He is our Abba, Father. And as we look at fathers today, this is the one thing that we understand, that he is the image. He is the one that we are to follow his example. Sure, he set an example. That bar is way high, and in reality, we could never achieve it. But do we understand what this means? Abba. We are called Abba, Father. We are called to accept those that he has placed in our lives, to know them, to love them, to care for them. He cares for us deeply. You know, I don't know where you are at this place in this time today, dads out there, fathers out there. You know, maybe you're the child that is walking down the sidewalk and just simply wants to run into the open arms of Abba and just be with him. Maybe today you need the positional Abba, the one that is your creator, the giver of life, to maybe sit you down and have that conversation of maybe some things that need to be done. This morning we celebrate our fathers on earth, but we celebrate our Abba Father in heaven, and we desire to live for him. Let's pray.